beyond belief that people could be committing such kind of sins in that Mubarak land. Open sins, open transgression, open violation of the laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw with my own eye at the airport after returning from Madina Sharif that some young boys and girls who were living in the same hotel, because they had built up some friendship and relationship, so now to take out a photograph for remembrance, they all got together there laughing, giggling. They stood one side and thereafter they kept on clicking, and when I passed on the message that, brothers, please, you are just returning from Madina Sharif, this is totally haram and forbidden, then it was as if it was a big joke to them. So is this the visit to Madina Sharif? Is this the purpose for that visit? People relate their dreams to me. Many people come and ask me for interpretation of dreams. And even I tell them that this is what your dream means, this is what you have been doing in Madina Sharif, they get shocked and they said, yes, indeed, that is what we have been doing. I said, make tawbah, istighfar, otherwise lifelong you are going to suffer. Zina in Madina Sharif. And if not zina in reality, then the watching of zina on television in Madina Sharif. Go to the foyers there, see where the South Africans are crowded. Brothers, if we have indulged in those evils here in South Africa, leave it here. At least, as my Shaykh and Murshid Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib in this trip, he said in Madina Sharif, he said, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave me a mazmoon, a special point he brought into my mind in the Masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is that Hajj and Umrah, the good and the bad, all are making. You will find lots of people, they will make Hajj and Umrah too, and they will steal too, they will go to the gambling dens too, and they will do lots of other sins too. So Hajj and Umrah cannot be the real food of the awliya. The food of the awliya, ghizai awliya. He said that cannot be Hajj and Umrah. Namaz also, a person will make namaz, and immediately after that, just now when you will go, you will switch on the television, and if there is some filthy program, you will watch it. So namaz also cannot be the food of the awliya. Just the it is the food partly, but something that distinguishes him from the others. What is that food which distinguishes the wali from the others? That food is that pain which comes in the heart upon the giving up of a sin. He eats that, he swallows that, he drinks that, use whatever term you want, but to eat that pain, that I will swallow the pain which is coming into my heart. My desire is very strong that I must look at that pretty woman from Indonesia, from Japan, from Malaysia. As somebody told my Hazrat once, he said, look at these Indonesian women, because they wear white burqas and they are white also. He said, how beautiful, they look like white pigeons. How much of noor on their face. So he said, la hawl padho haji sahab, la hawl padho. Read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, shaitan has misled you. You can't see the noor of the Kaaba Sharif. You can't see the noor of the Rauza Mubarak. The only place you could see noor is on the faces of those Indonesian women. So this is what shaitan does there. So at that time when that desire is coming very strong, so the person swallows that desire. He says, I will let my heart be shattered into pieces. I will let it crack and I will let it burst open, but I will not displease my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and especially in this Mubarak land. He said, then Allah will fill that person's heart with the noor of taqwa. And then he will experience such pleasure inside his heart that there is no words that can describe that kind of pleasure. And we say, how can he get sweetness in the heart? Then he says, sweetness in the heart is just like sweetness in the sugar cane. That outwardly the sugar cane and the bamboo stick both look the same. If the sugar cane does not have sugar and the sweetness inside there, then the price of the sugar cane will be just like the price of bamboo sticks. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can put sweetness into stick, into wood, then cannot he put it into your heart, which is flesh? But that sweetness will be of a different kind. Ask the awliya what kind of sweetness that is. So my brothers, this visit to Madina Sharif, we must remember that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his sahabas, they tied stones on their bellies in the battle of the trench. Where was the trench? Dug just at near Madina Sharif. And all hajis go there and make ziyarat. But what ziyarat we make? That this was the place where the trench was dug. They dug it from this end to that end, and so many days it took to dig, and we read out the history like in parrot fashion, and everybody nods and shakes their head, and we return. But we fail to think that, look at the condition when the trench was being dug. Sahabas tied stone on their bellies and they told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that due to anger, Ya Rasulullah, I've got one stone tied on my stomach. Such pangs of pain I am feeling, because it was poverty time and it was very cold, icy cold winter. And at that time, in that condition, they are out there digging. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lifts up his garment and he says, look, I've got two stones on my belly. Brothers, this is what we must recall there. In the plains of Uhud, 70 sahabas gave their blood. Uhud ke shaheedo ke khune wafa se sabak le ke paband dastoor hunga. We'll take a lesson from Uhud. That look at 70 sahabas, great companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the blood of whom was so precious and so valuable. But they shed the blood, they said, let us write our history in blood and go. So that the ummah that will come till the day of Qiyamah, they will say that for the fulfillment of the ahkam of deen and for the spread of this deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we preferred giving our lives than sacrificing our blood, but we were not prepared to disobey our Allah ta'ala for a single moment. So this is what we have to bring from the roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The time has expired, I have in fact taken more time than I should, therefore I seek forgiveness for that, but I believe that it was extremely important that you should be educated to understand that you should not be looking at those people, what they are doing. Our South Africans or people from the world, what they are doing, do not worry about that. Their amal are with them. If we can, if they are related to us or they are our friends or somebody to whom we can in a nice, polite, good way convey the hukam of deen, well and good. But don't enter into arguments and quarrels with people there. If they are doing something wrong, if you can convey to them nicely, gently, calmly, politely, then do so. If they do not accept it, leave them to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make dua, Allah ta'ala give them hidayat. We must be concerned about ourselves. Therefore, if you find that you are in such a situation that you cannot stop others from doing something wrong there, for example, you are in a foyer there and they put the television on and now it's music playing and all kinds of things coming there. So you may not be able to stop those others, but what we can do is go away to the haram, go away to our room. So spend the time in the Haram Sharif, spend the time in the room, sleeping, or engage yourself in zikr, tilawat, ibadat, and where else will you get again the roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Baytullah Sharif. So this trip, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes you, then let it be the trip of your life. Let it be the changing point in your life. And if Allah ta'ala takes me, it must be the changing point in my life. Each and every one of us must take stock of ourselves properly and thoroughly before we go there. And when we come back from there, our actions, our character, our behavior, our morals, everything must be such that our family becomes impressed, our friends become impressed. We must not do it to impress them, but it must be such that they become impressed, and even our clients and customers become impressed, our staff and servants become impressed, that this person definitely went somewhere and came, and look at the change in his life. He was a person who used to use vulgar language, he used to swear, he used to kick and boot the servants, and look at it now, what a change. Suddenly he's talking so nicely, suddenly he's making ihsan. So this is what we must return with from there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the patient listening of yours and accept this few words which I have conveyed to you. May Allah ta'ala instill in our hearts such love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it overflows, that whosoever shakes hands with us also, he gets that current of love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whosoever meets us and talks to us, whosoever sits in our majlis. Brothers, nobody stops you from staying in a good hotel. Nobody prevents you from eating good food. Nobody stops you from wearing good clothes and travelling in good modes of transport. I will just relate to you one incident that Hazrat Maulana Aftab Alam Sahab, the one person from Delhi, wrote to him that he's a millionaire and he wants to buy a car from Delhi and make Hajj. He'll drive all the way because he wants to make Hajj with Mujahida and Mushaqqat in a hard way, striving. And then from Delhi, he's going to return by plane. From Jeddah, he'll sell the car there and then he'll return by plane. And he's going to do Hajj also walking. So Maulana wrote back to him, he said, no, from there you travel first class. You come to Jeddah, you travel in air-conditioned car or bus or you take the plane to Medina Sharif and Makkah Sharif also, you stay in a good hotel and you make everything comfortably. And when you are returning, then you buy a car from Jeddah and then drive back to Delhi. So he said, why did I tell him that? Because if he drove the car from there, he'll get puncture on the way, he'll say, Hajj is difficult, you get a lot of punctures on the way. If he has, he runs out of petrol and he suffers, then he'll attribute that also to Hajj. Any difficulty on the way, he'll say, this is a difficulty of Hajj, this is a difficulty of Hajj. Whereas Allah Ta'ala gave him the money, so he'd rather come, and he hasn't gone through difficulties, he hasn't been through a difficult way of life, he has been living in comfort. So let him travel comfortably, and let him finish his Hajj in comfort, or to the best, in whichever way it's comfortable. And when he's returning, now when he buys the car all the way, whatever problems he experiences, then he'll say, it's my stupidity and foolishness. When I could afford a plane ticket and go comfortably, why must I buy a car and drive right through? So therefore, if you have got the money, no problem, stay in a good hotel. But that hotel that you are staying in, it must not be because there's a beautiful television set there, it's the state-of-the-art instrument there, and therefore now you'll have enough time to relax there and the whole day watch that, and now and again sometimes go to the haram and make namaz. That must not be the intention. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the, give Hajj maqbool and mabroor for all those who are going. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, jo jane wale hai unko Hajj maqbool aur mabroor naseeb farma, unki tamam mushkilat ko to dur farma. Ay Allah, unke liye har kisam ki aasaniyan paida farma. Ya Allah, wahan par unke auqat ko sahi guzarne ki taufeeq ata farma. Ay Allah, Hajj Baitullah hame bhi naseeb farma, aur tere pyare Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ziyarat hame naseeb farma. اے اللہ, جو بھی جانے والے ہیں ان سب کو تو قبول فرما. اے اللہ, تیرے دین کے احکام پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے اللہ, اس تمام حاجیوں کی حج کو تو آسان فرما دے, تمام گناہوں سے سب کو تو محفوظ فرما دے. اے اللہ, خاص کر ان مبارک مقامات پر اور ان مقدس اس مقدس زمین پر ہر قسم کے گناہ سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. ان اللہ وملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما. اللهم صل علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد بارک وسلم. سبحان ربک رب العزة عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ.